The British poet Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "True humility is the highest virtue, the mother of them all." It's kind of an interesting statement. Humility, a high virtue. In humility that the other virtues come to us, because it's only as we realize our lack that we gain the things we need and we appreciate what God wants us to become. John the Baptizer, also known as John the Baptist, of great courage, commitment, godliness, and humility. And it's actually kind of a strange thing, but Jesus gave him about the highest praise you would ever hear of another human being. Coming from his statement, Luke 7:28 says, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." Think about that. For Jesus to say that about somebody is saying something. He's saying, take a look at this guy. And yet he adds on, "Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." So he's talking about the great blessing of being a child of God in the kingdom. But Jesus saw something in John that he praised, and John saw something in Jesus that he worshiped. And John is a great example to us all. Look, John chapter 3, verse 22. "After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Enon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were constantly coming to be baptized." This was before John was put in prison. Now, an argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. You know, it's the old thing, you know, no good deed will go unpunished, you know. John's doing a good thing, but there's going to be somebody going to come in and criticize him. So there he was. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he's baptizing and everybody's going to him." Somebody's trying to just kind of make trouble, you know what I mean? You never met anybody like that, did you? "So you're baptizing, but this other guy over there, that other Jesus guy, he's baptizing too. So, you know, hey, you really ought to know, you know, I'm giving you a little heads up." To this, John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I'm sent ahead of him." So John's making it very clear. You may be trying to create a rift between Jesus and me. Look, I'm not him. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the promise of Messiah. I'm not the anointed one. I was just sent on ahead of him. So don't you get confused about this. There's no rivalry between us. John did not see himself in any way as a rival to Jesus Christ. Some maybe wanted to see that rivalry. And all the Gospels note that John repeatedly said, "He's not the Christ. I'm not the guy. You're looking for another one." He was a forerunner, a messenger, one who pointed out who the Christ would be, and that Christ was greater than he was or ever would be. Pick up at verse 29. "The bride belongs to the bridegroom, and the friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete." So at the wedding, The bride and the groom, they're the ones at the center. And John says, I'm just one of the groomsmen, okay? I'm here to stand up with him. But he's the star here in the bride, right? Jesus is a guest of honor. I'm not. That long-awaited bridegroom has come. One who stands up with him. Here's the key text for today. This is actually a verse to live by. It's really the main point that I believe God would have me to make to you today. It's verse 30. He must become greater. I must become less. Say that with me. He must become greater. I must become less. The secret of being a child of God, the secret of being a follower of Jesus Christ, is that he must be elevated. He must become greater. I must become less. And we will only become as mature and Christ-like as we are able to keep the proper perspective that God is God and I'm not. And Jesus is to be elevated, and I am to become less, and you are to become less. We'll come back to that in a couple moments. I want us to continue on to verse 31. The one who comes from above is above all. The earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. So again, there's a great contrast. John says, I'm from the earth. Jesus is from above. I'm just a guy. He's from heaven. He's God. I'm a man. I'm a forerunner. Prepare the way of the Lord. But don't equate the two. He must become greater. I must become less. And Jesus has no rivals. Certainly not John, but no rivals. Because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he must be elevated. He must become greater. We must become less. Verse 32. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. That's often the way it is with truth. There's truth, and then people say, that's just truth. I don't want to accept that. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives a spirit without limit. Again, he's not talking about himself. John is talking about Jesus, elevating Jesus and everything he's saying. He's the one that God sent. He speaks the word of God, and he has the spirit of God without limit. And John has got it very clear. I'm just a guy. This is the one from heaven. This is Jesus. This is the one who has the spirit without limit. You got to follow him. Verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. John's not saying, I'm the Son. He's saying, Jesus is the Son. And all the authority, all the goodness and power of God resides in the hands of Jesus. And John is just elevating him. Look at him. Look at Jesus. He must become greater. I must become greater. Less. And then John comes right out and says, the John text, John 3 speaks of this powerfully, but verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on him. I know. God loves everybody. God is the good cause of his. There's only one way to heaven, and that is the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ. And what did heaven is what we do with Jesus Christ. Whether we receive him, humble ourselves before him, give him, or whether we go our own way and reject him. And so Jesus is the pivotal point of all of history. And John is trying to say that very plainly. It's not what you think of me that matters. It's what you think of him. I'm elevating him. He must become greater. I must become less. What you do with Jesus is everything. What you do with me doesn't even matter. It's what you do with Jesus. Get it right with Jesus. Don't mess this up. We talked about all the sins that people commit. And everybody falls short of the glory of God. But there's really ultimately only one sin that will send you to hell. All the other sins are their sins. But there's one sin that will ultimately send a person to hell. And that is the sin of rejecting the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Reject that grace and there is no way into glory. And John says, don't get that messed up. I'm pointing to the one and only Savior. What you do with him determines your destiny. So some were wondering, should I follow John or should I follow Jesus? And John's saying, it's a no-brainer. You'll follow Jesus. Verse 30 again, he must become greater. I must become less. It's a guiding principle. Dr. Horatio Bonar, many years ago, once remarked that he could tell when a Christian was growing or not. He says, I can tell whether they're growing or not. And this is what he said. In proportion to his growth in grace, he would elevate his master, talk less of what he was doing, and become smaller and smaller in his own esteem, until like the morning star, he faded away before the rising sun. The more the world sees you and me, the less it sees Jesus. And our job is not to introduce the world to Randy Huber or Bruce Hoover. Our job is to introduce the world to Jesus Christ. And what somebody does with Randy Huber does not matter one little bit. But what somebody does with Jesus Christ determines eternity for them. And so you can tell you're growing when it doesn't really matter about you anymore. When it's all about him. You know, God uses the humble for great things. We don't like to hear this because we all want to call our own shots. We all want to be able to pat ourselves in the back and say, look what I did. Look what I was able to accomplish. Look what I've done in my life. But those whom God has used mightily never looked at it that way. 808 years ago, God used a man named Francis of Assisi. He was the founded the Franciscan order in the Roman Catholic Church. And Francis was a man who did away with the accoutrements of fame and wealth and power, laid it all aside, and chose the life of a humble servant of Jesus Christ. He loves creation, patron saint, you know, of those, of the little birds and animals and all that. And he lived in poverty, just pointing people to Jesus. It wasn't to point people to Francis, it was to point people to Jesus. And he made a life-transforming difference in the world. And his order, the Franciscan order, still exists in the Roman Catholic Church today. Someone asked Francis long ago how he could accomplish so much. They had noted that this kind of nobody monk had really done a lot. Francis responded, "This may be why. The Lord looked down from heaven and said, 'Where can I find the weakest, littlest, lowliest man on earth?' And then he saw me and said, 'I found him. I'll work through him. And he won't be proud of it. And he'll see that I am using him because of his insignificance.' The world will scream in your ear, 'You got to make something of yourself.' The world will scream, 'Come on. You have a great influence. You make your influence count.' The only mark you want to make is that you are people to Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've made. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care how many letters you have after your name. None of it amounts to anything. He must become greater. I must become less. He must become greater." William Carey is known as, often called, the father of modern missions. Quite an amazing person. He served in India during the late 18th and early 19th centuries. Good friend of Ken's. And he was a pastor and a social reformer and an anthropologist and a Bible translator. I mean, the man was formidably gifted. And made a tremendous difference in this world. J.H. Bamberger reports that Carey said this: "When I am gone, speak not of William Carey, but of William Carey's Savior." He must become greater. I must become less. It's the attitude of every true Christ follower. When people see you, do they see you? Or do they see the Jesus you serve? Because if they just see you, or see even mainly you, then you're missing it. How do we know if we're truly growing in humility? How do we know? The Navigators are well known as a student group, began Navy personnel, other military personnel, and sharing the Bible. And one of the great emphases of the Navigators organization is the attitude of servant, being a servant of Jesus Christ. And if you're looking for good discipleship material, it's still hard to beat what the Navigators have out there. It'll just get you in the Word, and you'll grow, and it's a really well-written easy to use stuff that you can share with anybody, and it's good. Long time ago, a businessman asked Warren Sani, who at that time was the president of the Navigators, how could he know when a person had a servant attitude? Pretty good question, really. This is what Sani replied. By how you act when you are treated like one. How do you know if you have a servant's attitude? By how you act when you are treated like one. When someone treats you badly or shabbily or looks down on you or minimizes your existence, how you react to that minimization of your being determines the extent of which you are walking with Jesus Christ, who in very nature God did not consider God something to be grasped, but took the very nature of a servant and became obedient even to death on a cross, so it says of Jesus Christ. How do we respond when people dislike us or disrespect us or minimize our existence? How do we handle it when people ignore our achievements or elevate others above us? How do we react to insults and slights? Booker T. Washington was born a slave in 1881. He founded the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama to train black teachers so that children could get schooling. Between 1890 and 1915, the year he died, Booker T. Washington was the most respected leader in the African American community in America. He did a tremendous amount of good. In the early years at Tuskegee, Washington was walking in town. He stopped by a wealthy white woman, and she asked if he would like to earn a little bit of money, a little few bucks for chopping wood. So as he had no pressing business at hand, Professor Washington smiled and proceeded to do the humble chore of chopping wood. Sometime later, the woman's servant girl recognized that was Booker T. Washington, the professor who had founded that school, chopping wood like a common laborer. The next morning, the embarrassed woman went into his office and apologized profusely. I didn't know it was you I put to work. Washington's excitement. Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend. That wealthy white woman, so moved by the man's humility, that she persuaded her other wealthy acquaintances to join her in giving thousands of dollars to Tuskegee Institute. Do you want to know if you're really walking in humility with the Lord? If you come to a point where you're really, he must become God. Just look at how. Because John the Baptizer, he didn't worry about being a peg. He didn't even worry about elevated Jesus. He just elevated Jesus. He must become greater. I must become less. And we live to honor, serve, and glorify Jesus Christ. You all know that famous man. You see that face. You know that face everywhere. No, probably not. But probably that man contributed at some point to saving the life of somebody you know, maybe even you. 1847, man, actor, fed at Edinburgh. His name was Sir James Simpson. That's Sir James Simpson. He discovered that chloroform could be used as an anesthetic to render people unconscious so they could go through the pain of surgery. And from his early experiments, he made it possible to go through the most difficult of operations. And people could come through and they could abide the pain because they were asleep. And medicine was changed by this man. One of the most significant discoveries of modern medicine was anesthesia. Some years later, Dr. Simpson was lecturing at the University of Edinburgh, Scotland. One of the students said, "Dr. Simpson, what do you consider to be the most valuable discovery of your lifetime?" Great question. Sometimes students ask good questions. And to the surprise of his students, this is what Dr. Simpson replied. "My most valuable discovery was when I discovered myself a sinner and that Jesus Christ was my Savior." He must become greater. I must become less. When I was younger, I was younger once. I was competitive. And I wanted to make my mark in this world. Wanted to be the best in everything I did. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. You know. I wanted to have the highest grades, and I wanted to be the fastest runner. I wanted to be the brightest student. I wanted to be popular and respected. I wanted to be somebody. I still like doing well, ugly. But I'm no longer driven by competitive forces. And I don't have anything to prove anymore. I'm just seeing things more clearly. He must become greater. I must become less. He must become greater. I must become less. Christian minister once said, I was never of any use until I found out that God did not intend me to be a great man. God does not intend you to be a great man or a great woman. Our task is to elevate Jesus Christ and let the world know that God sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him perish but have eternal life. And that Jesus is the Alpha and he's the bright morning star, the lily of the valley. He's the summum bonum, the highest good. He is God. And our task is to honor him and elevate him and share him and live in a manner that his life is expressed through us so that people do no longer see us. They see him in us. God doesn't want you to be great. There's only one who is great. The Lord God Almighty. Amen. If I leave this church in 9 years and retire or I die, and some of you say, you know, we really miss Randy. Like to be missed. But that's not the point at all. My job is to love you and to show you Jesus Christ. And if I had not succeeded in loving you and showing you Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is not elevated above all else, then I have completely failed. Because in the end, it doesn't matter that I was a pastor here 30 years or 35 years or 45 years or whatever it would be. But Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. He must become greater. We must become less. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.